Okay, we're going to take up the last message on the series about the glory of God. And we're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians as our text this morning and ask ourselves how we can actually apply this word. I think that is the challenge of it all. How can we understand the idea of the glory of God in a meaningful manner? How do we make this something real, something personal, something that is applicable? Otherwise, we will really be missing it along the way. All right, let's try and do this. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to understand your word a little bit better. And we pray that you will encourage our hearts, help us to see the concept of glory meaningfully, practically, personally, so that when we speak of your glory, we will actually be able to understand it and to see how we can actually see it become another dimension in our faith and in our life. Help us to keep looking for those things so that we will not miss out on the glory that is obviously there. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a few things that we want to think about this morning as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay. The first thing that we want to ask ourselves as we look at this whole idea of glory is always to think of the idea of glory in association with God. That's the important. So we don't see glory as something separate from the Lord. But let's take a look at how this works out. Okay. So we see this very, very obviously in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay. Now, of course, we see the glory of God in God himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in creation, in all the different aspects that we are used to. But in 1 Thessalonians, the best thing to do is to think about how we can see the sense of association that is very, very obvious. Okay, let's take a look. There is the mention of God the Father. There is the mention of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1. How God gives grace, how God gives peace. These all come from God. Right? And then we talk about we give thanks to God. So verse 1, so many mentions of God. And then verse 2, there's mention of God again. Can you see this? So in all these things here, verse 4, election by God. Verse 5, the Holy Spirit in his power and in assurance and all. So every time we want to look for glory, where may we find it? And the best thing to do is to look for an association where God is concerned, or perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps the Holy Spirit, or perhaps his word, perhaps his power, his grace, his peace. Anything, everything associated with God, therein you will find that glory. And that's a wonderful thing to say, because where is God not? Right? One day there was a person who was quite sick. And this person liked to draw, you know, words and phrases in the room there. So this person came in, a non-believer, a friend, but a non-believer, critical of faith, and said to the person, "You say you believe in God. How come you have the statement above your head, you know, above the bed there, that says God is nowhere?" And the person said, "Really? You read it wrongly. God is now here." See, That's the problem. Sometimes we read things wrongly. And we think God is nowhere. He is there, anywhere, everywhere you will find God. Where there is grace, where there is peace, where there is joy, where there is assurance, where there is power, where there is the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, God and His glory will be found there. That is the challenge. See, sometimes we look for glory and we don't really find it. Just because you find the word glory doesn't mean it's there. There is a 6 mile down there, there is a little shop that calls its name Glory. It sells food stuff that sometimes people buy, won't mention further. But the food is anything but glorious. So I think that we really want to try and see whether we can find the reality of the word glory with look for association with God. And I think that is something that we don't want to take for granted. Right? So if we cannot find the Lord real, if we cannot find the Lord there, then we actually can't see it. Of course, then where is the glory? So sometimes you look at Christmas and say, well, Christmas, think in terms of go to Shangri-La, at this, and, it's very costly, we got to dress up, with the orchestra. See, we don't see God real there. You see only the negative side. But when you see God there, everything there is uplifting, it is encouraging, and, it just helps us to understand it very, very much better. So the key word there is to ask yourself, where can I see God's grace, God's hand, God's power, God's presence amidst all those things? Because if I can find the association of God with those things, immediately you will see that glory of God also. Think about these things here. I think that's something that we want to think about. And if we can have that, if we can understand that, that is going to go a long, long way. Okay? Now, that is the first thing. So we look at, obviously, the first few verses. Now, there is another part where you will see the glory part. See, that is associated with God. That is His work. That is His the way He manifests Himself. Now, there is another word that you need to take note of, and that word is called application. Right? So that's association, and that is application. Look at Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, and that is an amazing. The book of Acts 17 describes Paul's very brief work in Thessalonica. Look at Acts 17, right? So Paul went to Thessalonica, and he went to the synagogue. It was his custom. It was, and he was there for 3 Sabbaths. That's it. And there he reasoned with them from the scriptures. He explained, he demonstrated that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. And then say, this Jesus is the Christ. Now, that is a summary of his work there. So 3 Sabbaths there, perhaps he met with some people along the way. 3 Sabbaths. But remember, the glory is to be found there because it is associated with God, with His gospel, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with His grace, with His power. That glory is there. Now, where is the challenge? The challenge is in the application. And that's very obvious. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll see this very clearly. Okay? Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. First, the Thessalonians found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's application. So the words are believed in and the words become faith. That is application. Go on further, extension. Faith is not something that stands alone. There would be the labor of love. Right? Straight away, they felt that they want to do something for the Lord. All the work that is put in, labor of love. Now, this is something that we want to take time to consider, the biblical example here. Then you watch them. The patience of hope literally means they were persevering. See the application. The application, the challenge is to be patient, to be persevering all the way through. See the application of it all? See, looking at the glory of God, without applying your faith, without applying any love within the heart, without looking at these things, it just doesn't go far enough. The challenge is to look at all these things and say, there we go. See, in verse 5, our gospel did not come to you in word only, there is a power, and in the Holy Spirit and in assurance. But when the believers, when they became believers, they applied their faith. They began to serve the Lord with love. They began to have a sense of hope. Verse 6, they followed Paul. You became followers of us and of the Lord. Can you see the application that's there? See, that's what very often is lacking. This is why I'm just hoping whether we can do something about it in 2020. 2020 is a term that we use to see clear-sighted, you know. You can see 20 feet in front of you. It's 2020. Well, that's good. What, can you see this? That's the challenge. Can you see this? Can you see the need to apply faith, labor, love, assurance, joy? Apply all these things and see what happens next. Now, remember, he was there only for 3 Sabbaths. And that was it. What can be done in 3 Sabbaths? Very much depends upon how you want to work at it. Because there is a power of God, there is a power of the gospel, there is a work of the Holy Spirit, and there is our contribution towards applying our faith, our life, our heart. What happens next? Verse 7. You became examples to all in Macedonia. I think that is something that you don't want to take for granted. We spent 2 months talking about examples. In a few short weeks, because of the application of the heart, of the mind, of the spirit to that faith in reality, suddenly we're seeing they become examples. What example? They followed Paul. They became followers. Look at verse 8. The word of the Lord sounded out forth, not only from Paul, but from them, from you, the Thessalonians. The word in Macedonia, the word in Achaia, in every place. How can you explain such exponential development? You can't, unless the glory of God is there. Can you see this? So there they went. They took what Paul said amidst difficulties, amidst problems, and they began to take that word, and they did not just stay in Thessalonica, they reached out to the broader region, reached out to other regions. In fact, every place they could go, they brought the word, the glory, the power of the Lord wherever they went. Now that is what we mean when we talk about application. Okay, it's not just simple application. Okay, I must read my Bible a bit more often. That is a very, very weak thing to do. But that's a good start. But don't stop now. Persevere. Exercise that patience. Exercise that hope. Put in a bit more labor and see what will happen. In verse 8, your faith toward God We don't even need to say anything. So just imagine Paul going to a new region, and before he could say anything, oh yeah, we heard that the Thessalonian people come to tell us. Really? So he goes to another area, same thing. So wherever Paul went, he found that the testimony, the ministry, the witness of the Thessalonian believers had already gone ahead of him. That is called application. Right? They themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. How they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they had a very simple gospel presented to them. One, that God was Father. Two, that God is a God of grace and peace. Three, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he became a Savior, he suffered, and one day he will come again. That's a summary of the gospel. And you ask yourself, I also know that. I also believe in that. Then what's the difference? Application. They really applied what they hear into their life. The faith that they had gripped their hearts. The understanding of what they believed in gripped their soul, and they could not but share their faith with other people. This is application. And to me, that is outstanding. Can you see this? So we see this very obviously. When we want to see the glory of God, look for God himself. Associate that with God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. It's obviously there. Okay, the challenge now is to apply. And that is not something that is easy. Now, look at the situation in which his application took place. Right? Let's take a look very carefully. How challenging were the thing? So the key word now is to see the word affliction. Obviously, it was coming through. The afflictions were very real. Take a look. Verse 2, chapter 2. We suffered. We were spitefully treated. Right? But we were bold in our God to speak to you. There was affliction. Please do not think that there was, you know, everything was just turning up nicely. There were no difficulties. There were no problems. In fact, plenty of problems. Paul could not stay then. They made it impossible for him to stay longer. He tried to go back to Thessalonica time and again, but Paul would write and say, Satan hindered us. So these were the afflictions that the people had to endure. But therein is the challenge. If we are succeeding when things are going well, that's not much of a success. The application is even more significant when we speak about afflictions which are there in life. Right? So there will be challenges, there will be problems, there will be difficulties. They will always exist. The question is, how can we look at all these things and do better? Application must be in our heart and in our mind, despite afflictions. Don't give in to the afflictions part. Just focus on the application part, and it will help you. It will stand you in tremendous stead. Sometimes when we look at life, we look at all the problems, we look at afflictions, and we think, oh, it's just too much. No, it's not. Keep applying. The glory of the Lord is seen when we apply our faith amidst affliction. That's the reality of it all. The resistance will be there. The resistance from the wind is what makes the kites go up. Where there is no wind, it will just drop. Of course. This is where we are challenged. So the challenges can and it will come. I mean, there's no question about it. Right? So we take a look at these things here. And here we go. In chapter 2. Right? So this is where Paul right now talks about the thing here, how they behave, how they labored night and day, verse 9. See, so where did they learn all these things from? They learned from Paul. How did Paul labor? Night and day. How did Paul serve? This was the way Paul labored. They took the example, we're going to follow the same thing. See, that's what we are challenged to do. We become the living examples to others how to apply our faith. And if we can do it effectively, then it is something that you want to consider. Okay, now, let's take a look very carefully now. What's the final word? Right? Our key word is, here we go, look for association with God. Two, look for the application. Just keep applying, no matter how many difficulties which are there. Now, thirdly, and I think this is absolutely important for us to take a look at, and that word is the word appreciation. And I want to camp on this word a little bit as I share this with you. What is this idea of appreciation that we must see? Because if you see the glory of God, you don't know how to appreciate it. You're not seeing it right. And when you see the application, you don't know how to appreciate it. Then you're not seeing it properly either. What is it that we want to see? Take a look at how Paul talks about appreciation. Okay? Now, this is something that that we want to look at, okay, very, very carefully. Right, look, this is something, from chapter 2 downwards. For this reason, we thank God without ceasing. When you receive the word of God you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. That is appreciation. Not everybody will receive the word of God properly. But when you see the people appreciating the word of God as it is taught, you really appreciate them for what they are. See, when you preach the word of God, some people will not respond. Some people cannot respond. Some people are just plain not interested. There's nothing to appreciate when we see this kind of situation. But there are some who will listen to the word of God and say, wow, is that what it is? And they are so happy about it. And the heart is moved. The heart is touched. The way they receive the word of God brings encouragement to the soul. That is appreciation. On Christmas Day, I made mention that many wrote a little statement, a little love note to me, and said, I'd love you to the moon and back. That was really, very special. Now, Gong Yang was there, he heard it, and he just sent me a poem to be printed next week. It's entitled, I'd Love You to the Moon and Back. Well, wait for it. It's a beautiful poem. You see, that's what we mean. See, when you see people receiving the word of God, if I ask people, what did I say on Sunday? Christmas Day. See, very hard to appreciate that kind of response. But when you see people's heart really opening up, reading the word of God, receiving it, hearing it, welcoming it as the very word of God, you know, there is an appreciation here that is wonderful. Number 2, verse 14. You, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. They also suffered the same things and so on and so forth. But there we go. They were following the example of the churches in Judea which had suffered. And they were not afraid of the sufferings that they had. They just press on. What? And this is how we want to understand it. This is what appreciation is all about. When we see people persevere in their faith, despite difficulties, you know, you just cannot but appreciate the real faith that is in them. There is appreciation again. Right? Let's go on further. And he talked about how Satan kindled him, verse 18. Now, this is a beautiful touch of expression. Right? How do you express yourself? This is a beautiful thought, and I think this is something, 19 and 20. How do you express appreciation for such believers? Now remember, Paul had been there with them only on three Sabbaths, and look at what they had become. They became outstanding, they became examples to other people, their faith was very real, there was a labor of love, there was a patience of hope, you name it, they had it. This is where appreciation is now expressed most beautifully. Verse 19 and 20. These words of appreciation are beautiful. Listen to this. What is our hope? What is our joy? In fact, what is our crown of rejoicing? The word rejoicing means boasting. This is appreciation at a very high level. You see, when we serve the Lord, what are we looking for all the time? We are always looking for hope. Will there be another generation that will take the work of God further? And Paul saw this in the Thessalonians. So they became, as it were, hope for the word of God, hope for the gospel to be preached. They became his hope. He could not go there personally, but it's okay. They were carrying the hope of the gospel alive. The Thessalonians, Paul said, you are our hope. What a beautiful way to express appreciation. Second, what is our joy? There are some people who bring joy. There are some people who are just joyless. I mean, this is something that we all understand and appreciate. See, so when we talk about joy, is when you take a look at that person, you look at the life of the person, and that person brings joy. And for Paul, the joy was in the reality of the faith of the Thessalonians, their activity, their ministry, their exemplary life. All these things were sources of joy. Of course, there will be bruises along the way being picked up. There will be the threat of life and everything else. Still, that joy was there. Wherein is that joy? The Thessalonians were his source of joy. Well, then there is that crown. You know what I mean by a crown? That little extra thing. I call it a crown. That's a beautiful word, right? And this idea of a crown to me, let me just share this very personally, if you will let me say this. That to me was a real special crown. Well, just yesterday, we were down to two pieces of bread. So Mary took the last piece of bread, and she was still hungry, and she looked at that last piece of bread, and she hesitated for a while. So I said, won't you like to have it? We can toast it for you. And she said, no, Kong Kong. And you know what? If Mary wakes up, maybe she wants the bread too. And she said, no, I won't take it. I'll save it for Abby. She will be by a crown. Those were the most beautiful words I've heard for a long time. There is my crown of rejoicing. You see what I'm trying to say? So when Paul looked at the Thessalonians, now he has ministered in many, many places, but he has not seen how in three Sabbath days this kind of result can come up. He labored in Corinth for 18 months, and the church gave him nothing but heartaches, heartburns. You name it, that church gave him a lot of headaches. This, he went to work in Ephesus for 3 years, and the church had many problems. But here for three Sabbaths. And there you see the glory of God's work in hearts, in lives, in souls. That they were producing things that other places could not produce, though he worked very hard with them for years. That's why he said, you are a crown of our rejoicing. It's pretty amazing, right? So now we look at verse 20. This is where the whole message comes down to. You are our glory. And I think this is a word, if I may borrow, you know, I minister in India, I minister in Myanmar, I minister in Perth. Can I say this to all of you at Bethany? You are my glory in more ways than one. It's a glory I associate with God's work. It's a glory when I see you applying your heart and your faith so well. As much as Ben announced that we are going to plan for Easter soon, which means to say you start practices all over again, all the way through until Easter comes. The next few months, you'll be working so hard, and yet you are there. So I look at the people who are doing the props, and one person wrote back to me and said, Pastor, you know, there was a bit of a mishap. Good thing it was not, it wasn't anything major. But you look at all the work put in by all the people with, you know, doing the props and all that. You should see them sawing this all the night, working so hard. And you know, to me, I see that associated with God. I see the application of faith and life into ministry. Can I say this to all of you at Bethany? The way you have given to this, I may say, are my glory and my joy. So when we talk about the glory that we speak about, there are times that we speak of God's personal glory. We see the glory that is in Jesus. We see the glory in creation. We see the glory in all the things associated with God. But we also see glory when it is applied, when we apply our hearts, our minds, ourselves to the work of God. And then, you know, what else are we going to look at? We are also looking at the glory that is so obvious, but it's for us to appreciate. And I want to appreciate Bethany, all of you, all over again. You are such a special source of glory and of joy. And I love you guys with all my heart. It is so privileged, so glorious to be called one of the pastors at Bethany. And that is my joy, my crown of rejoicing, my glory in all of you. And I thank God for you all. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the glory that you will reveal to us. We thank you, Father, for all who have applied their hearts, their minds, their physical strength and energy to make Bethany the place where you would choose to dwell. And Father, we thank you that you've also given hearts to appreciate all who have made Bethany what it is. in keeping the church strong and alive, in reaching out to different countries with the message of the gospel. Help us to find this heart of appreciation for all that we see in our midst here. May our hearts never take any of these things for granted. Thank you for the joy, for the glory that you put into our hearts as we reflect on all these things. Thank you for your glory shown to us for 2019. We look forward to seeing more of that glory in the year ahead of us. We ask you now to bless each one and everyone, every cheerful giver, as we present this offering out of a heart of love and thanksgiving to you. We give thanks in Jesus' name.